So if you're a Mac user, you've probably been there. You hit some small technical snag, maybe your laptop is just crawling, or you're trying to figure out how to clear some, obscure cache data. A few years ago, you'd call IT. Now, you just open a search engine, and within seconds, you're asking an AI like ChatGPT or Grok, thinking, okay, this thing will give me the quick, authoritative fix.
And that implicit trust, that reliance on AI as this ultimate troubleshooter, is exactly the vulnerability a new and frankly, a shockingly sophisticated malware campaign is weaponizing. We're looking at Amos, a really effective info stealer that targets macOS users and only macOS users, and it gets delivered through an attack chain that completely manipulates your sense of digital safety.
That's the mission right there, isn't it? The criminals have figured out how to just sidestep all your security instincts. They buy Google search ads, but they don't send you to some sketchy-looking phishing site. No, they redirect you to what looks like a helpful, totally legitimate technical conversation on a major AI platform. You feel safe, you copy the commands, and that trust, it just instantly becomes a compromise.
It's incredibly high stakes because this whole campaign, which researchers are calling the click fix attack, it just proves that the security of a platform, it's often secondary to the psychology of the user. The main defense here isn't a better antivirus. It's learning to recognize when your own trust is being used against you.
So today we're going on a deep dive. We're going to map out the entire mechanism of this click fix attack, define what Amos malware actually steals. And it's everything from your macOS keychain to your crypto portfolio, and most importantly, show you how to defend against these next-gen threats that are hiding in plain sight.
Okay, so let's unpack how this funnel really works. It all starts at that moment of frustration, right? The whole chain kicks off by exploiting sources we just inherently trust. Right, search engines and big tech platforms. The entry point is classic malvertising, but it's very targeted. Criminals are buying up the premium ad space on Google for these really specific, common troubleshooting terms.
The kind of thing you'd type when you're in a hurry.
Exactly. Think, how to clear data on iMac or free up storage on Mac. The malicious ad shows up at the very top, and it looks identical to a legitimate result.
And this is where the genius social engineering part comes in. You click that top result, and you're not taken to a website that's screaming scam with bad fonts and a weird domain name.
Not at all. It redirects you to a public link, a pre-written conversation that's hosted on a legitimate AI platform like ChatGPT or Grok.
Wow. So the URL bar says OpenAI.com.
The URL bar says you're on the official domain, which, it instantly lowers your guard. Your brain just registers, I'm on a safe site. This is an AI giving me a solution. And this is a really dangerous evolution because they are manipulating the fundamental trust we've all so quickly developed in these systems as being these neutral, authoritative guides.
That is a massive leverage point. It's not about spotting a suspicious link anymore. It's about questioning a solution from a source you're built to trust. And I mean, this isn't just a theory, right?
No, not at all. This campaign was first spotted late last year by Kaspersky, and then Huntress provided this really comprehensive breakdown of the attack chain shortly after. It confirms that hundreds, maybe thousands, of Mac users have already fallen for this exact method.
So the funnel is incredibly effective. It uses that trust to get you to the starting line, but none of that matters if the payload isn't devastating. Let's talk about the weapon itself, Amos.
AMS, it stands for Apple macOS Stealer, is a dedicated piece of malware for macOS that first popped up in April 2023. And what we're seeing here is it's like the industrialization of cybercrime. AMS operates as malware as service,
Awesome.
right? MaaS. The bad actors, they don't need to be coding geniuses. They just rent access to this incredibly sophisticated info stealer for about $1,000 a month.
Subscription model.
Yeah.
For high-end credential theft. That's a terrifying thought. If the barrier to entry is just a grand, it means basically any opportunistic criminal can deploy this against you.
It widens the pool of attackers exponentially. They get the tool, they get the targeting. And once Amos is on your machine, what it harvests, it's comprehensive. First, the obvious stuff. Browser credentials.
Passwords, cookies.
Saved passwords, active session cookies, autofill data, authentication tokens from every major browser. Chrome, Firefox, Safari. That alone can lead to a total account takeover across, banking, social media, e-commerce, everything.
But for Mac users, the really high-value target is the keychain.
Right.
That's where things get really critical. That's the vault.
It is the crown jewel. The macOS keychain stores so much more than just passwords for your apps. We're talking Wi-Fi network credentials, which could easily lead to a corporate network breach, critical certificate, private keys, and maybe most painfully secure notes.
Yeah.
People stash everything in there. highly confidential documents, recovery phrases, private financial data, all because they trust Apple's security model. Amos just yanks it all out.
I could see the leverage there. I mean, losing safe passwords is bad, but losing private keys or network certificates, that could lead to identity theft that's almost impossible to recover from.
Yeah.
And it sounds like the latest versions are evolving too.
They are. The latest builds have robust backdoor capabilities, things like remote command execution, keystroke logging. It gives attackers persistent, full control. They can just sit on the machine, watch what you're doing, and then deploy extra payloads later, maybe ransomware, or just wait for the perfect financial moment to strike.
And then there's the crypto angle, which sounds particularly aggressive. It's not just passively looking for wallet files anymore.
No, this is the most actively malicious part. Amos searches for apps associated with hardware and software wallets. It's specifically targeting big players like Ledger Live and Trezor Suite.
And if it finds one?
If it finds one, it replaces the legitimate software with a Trojanized copy. The goal is to just wait for you to open the app, and then it prompts you to enter your recovery seed phrase.
Under the guise of a security check or something.
Exactly. A security check, a required update, something that feels plausible.
Yeah.
And the second you enter that phrase, they have complete irreversible access to all of your digital assets.
The idea that my Mac is actively hunting for my crypto wallet to replace it with a fake that just flips the whole security model on its head. It's not passive theft. It's an active hunter.
Yeah.
Okay, let's get deep into the technical execution here because this whole thing hinges on one moment. That one highly effective piece of social engineering, the user copying and pasting helpful instructions from an AI chat right into their terminal.
Mm-hmm.
Walk us through that step-by-step infection process. What happens the second that command is executed?
It's a multi-stage process, and it's all designed to be quick, confusing, and to look benign. The first command you paste from the chat, it looks complicated, right? It often has several nested commands, but its most critical feature is a base 64 encoded string, which is really just a cleverly disguised URL.
So for anyone who's not super technical, base 64 encoding is what? It's like putting the real instructions in a locked box, and the command you're pasting has a key to open it. It's just meant to hide the destination.
That's a perfect analogy. It's the attacker's first layer of obfuscation. It hides the command's real purpose from anyone just glancing at it. If the script was in plain text, you'd immediately see a suspicious IP address or domain.
Right.
By encoding it, they bypass that quick visual check.
So the user runs this cryptic, kind of garbled command.
Mm-hmm.
What's the next step in the sequence?
The terminal immediately decodes that URL, and it pulls down a custom bash script. That script is the real workhorse of the attack. It's designed for two main things: to get maximum persistence on the system and to elevate the attacker's privileges from a standard user up to root.
And that jump to root is the critical pivot point. That's where the attacker goes from being a guest in the house to holding the master key. How does the script trick the Mac into handing that over?
This is pure social engineering brilliance. To get root access, the script generates a convincing fake password prompt dialogue right on the screen. We're all conditioned as Mac users to enter our administrator password for any system change, right? And this fake prompt perfectly mimics a legitimate macOS system request. It feels necessary. It feels trustworthy because it's happening in the context of the things you just tried to apply.
That is genius. But if the script is just running in the terminal, how can it even present a fake graphical pop-up like that? Doesn't macOS have checks against that?
Well, it's about context. The script is running under your user session, which gives it the ability to execute certain system calls. So when the script calls up a prompt that looks exactly like the system's own password dialogue, your immediate assumption is, oh, the system needs this to finish the command.
Well, once you type that password in.
Once it's provided and validated against the system, the script now has the highest level of access there is. It has root privileges.
That one moment of trust, that one password entry, just seals the deal.
Completely. Once they have root access, the script downloads the main Amos binary. It stores the malware as a hidden file, something like .helper in a hard-to-find location. And then for the final step, it needs persistence. It needs to survive a reboot.
And for macOS, that means using a mechanism the system is designed to trust.
Exactly. The script sets up persistence using a launch daemon configuration file. This is the ultimate backup plan. It's a system-level process that ensures Amos runs automatically every single time you start your Mac. And more critically, it's configured to monitor its own process. So if you or the OS try to manually kill it, It just restarts itself within seconds.
So it's built to survive. It's incredibly difficult to remove without some deep system knowledge.
Almost impossible for the average user.
So what does this all mean for the victim's data once that persistence is set up and Amos starts its harvest? Let's really spell out the scope of the damage, because it is comprehensive.
The damage report is frighteningly extensive, and it's focused on those high-value financial and identity targets. On the crypto side, Amos just systematically pulls private keys and config files from nearly every major software wallet you can run on a Mac.
Oh, we're talking.
We're talking Electrum, Exodus, MetaMask, Ledger Live, Coinbase Wallet, you name it. If those applications are on your infected machine, you have to assume your funds are gone.
And the danger isn't just about digital currency. This is about total identity compromise, and it happens silently.
Oh, absolutely. The browser data harvest is incredibly efficient. They get your active session cookies, which often lets them bypass two-factor authentication. They can just walk right into your banking, social media, e-commerce platforms without even needing your password.
If you're logged in, they're logged in.
That's it. And we can't forget the keychain data. That yields critical admin credentials, those secure notes we talked about, Wi-Fi passwords, all of which can be leveraged for future, even more targeted attacks, or just sold off to other criminals.
This whole threat is, I mean, it's a social engineering masterclass for the criminals, which means our defense has to rely mostly on vigilance and awareness, not just waiting for some technical patch.
That's the core takeaway. Quick fix attacks bypass technical defenses because they aren't exploiting a software flaw. They're exploiting human psychology inside a trusted environment. Since the platform itself is trusted, the focus shifts entirely to your actions. So let's get really specific on the red flags. What do you need to watch out for if you're looking for troubleshooting advice online?
Okay, so first, immediate suspicion. For any set of instructions, it tells you to open the terminal and run command line scripts, especially for simple, common problems like clearing disk space. Common tasks really require you to go into the command line.
Right. And if you do see a command, you have to look for that very specific visual indicator of danger we mentioned, a base64 encoded string.
That jumble of letters and numbers.
That jumble. Legitimate technical help should always be clear and readable. You should know exactly what a command is doing. If it looks like it's designed to be obscure, that is a massive red flag. And obviously, never download files from unfamiliar URLs embedded in those commands.
You know, the researchers found something fascinating here. It actually shows how AI can be used for defense. They noted that when some victims actually copied the malicious commands and then asked ChatGPT itself, hey, is this safe to run? The AI correctly identified the commands as highly dangerous.
Which just highlights that essential layer of defense. You have to question the instructions, that one extra step seeking verification before you follow any technical advice, even if it came from the same source. It's critical. It turns the AI from an attack vector into a security check.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture, what are the implications here for platform security? I mean, these conversations are happening on platforms that are supposed to be safe.
This is a huge immediate challenge for providers like OpenAI and Google. They're facing this dilemma of moderating content that, well, in isolation, it looks benign. It's just a terminal command. It only becomes malicious in this social engineering context of, you need this to fix your Mac.
So traditional security flags, like suspicious domains, they just don't apply.
They don't apply at all when the delivery mechanism is a trusted link on ChatGPT or Grok.
So the immediate defense has to be personal, has to be layered, right? We can't just rely on the platform to catch everything for us.
Absolutely not. Never execute a script from the internet unless you fully understand what it does and you've verified it through multiple independent trustworthy sources. And if you think you've been infected because you ran one of those suspicious commands, you have to take immediate steps.
Like what?
Disconnect from the internet immediately. You have to stop any more data from being sent out.
And for Mac users worried about that really nasty crypto component,
you need to manually check your applications folder for those Trojanized crypto apps, specifically Ledger Wallet and Trezor Suite. If you use crypto, you have to immediately transfer those assets to new wallets with completely different seed phrases. Just assume your original credentials were stolen the moment you ran that script.
And then, for full remediation.
After you've secured your critical data, you can run comprehensive scans. But honestly, given how sophisticated that launch daemon persistence is, the safest bet is a complete system reinstall. Wipe the machine, start fresh, and then from a clean device, change all of your important passwords. You just can't trust the operating system anymore.
This deep dive really shows that cyber criminals will always adapt. They move so fast, from simple fake websites to weaponizing the trust we place in new tech like AI, and using sponsored search ads to drive you right into the trap. It's an arms race where the target isn't really the operating system anymore.
No, it's the panicked user trusting the screen. And for Mac users, we have to reiterate the most critical point. Macs are not immune. Targeted, sophisticated threats like AMOS are actively developed and rented out specifically for macOS. The era of assuming you're safe just because of the operating system you chose, that's over.
Which leaves us with a final kind of provocative thought for you to consider. If criminals can effectively buy ad space to direct users to malicious conversations on major AI platforms, how much responsibility falls on the AI system itself to actively warn people about high-risk commands? Should the system be required to intervene, to move beyond just passively answering questions, and actually proactively flag code as potentially dangerous, even if that code might be technically fine in a different context? That is the next great challenge in digital safety, making our systems proactively safe and not just passively smart.